Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and happy Labor Day, everyone. I'm excited to be sharing our lunchtime together on this holiday Monday. Now, as you know, Selling in a Skirt has one goal in mind every week: to bring you, our listeners, valuable information that you can listen for the takeaways and literally use them as soon as we say goodbye. Now, Labor Day has a few takeaways as well. Goodbye to the summer and hello to the hustle and the bustle of the last quarter of the year. It reminds us of some of the struggles we've already won as well as those that lie ahead of us. Now, one of those struggles, especially for women entrepreneurs, is work-life balance. Is there really such a thing? Is it a myth? Is it something we should strive for, or are we setting ourselves up for failure? That's what our discussion will be about today, our thoughts on work-life balance. And I will be bringing in some experts on the topic. So let's start with, what is it and why are we even talking about it? In its simplest terms, according to Wikipedia, work-life balance is a concept including proper prioritizing between work, that would be your career and ambition, and lifestyle, which would be your health, your pleasure, your family, your leisure, your spiritual development. It sounds fairly simple, but it seems to escape women like the elusive butterfly. So why do we talk about it? Well, the truth of the matter is there are more and more women starting their own businesses every day. We set up our own businesses because we wanted a better work-life balance, except now we're working more hours and longer than ever. Now, most women started their own business to benefit from the flexibility and the freedom that comes with being your own boss and having full control over your time and how you work. After all, working from home and raising a family and still having some work-life balance appears to be so much easier when you're not working for someone else. But we also have to remember that freedom and flexibility come at a price. Now, sometimes we watch as our balance bounces right out the door. When I began my business, this business anyway, my children were grown and I was not married, so my idea of balance was a lot different than it was in previous years, or as it is for many women with families to care for. I didn't have to fight for my balance, but I definitely tossed it right out the window. It didn't matter to me if I didn't have anything in my life other than my business, because I figured it would come in time. However, if you don't plan for your future, whether that includes a personal relationship or investing in yourself or just personal me time, that balance we're discussing will not even be on your radar. Now, even without having anyone to answer to, I still had responsibilities in my home that did not include using any of my amazing business skills. I did want everything to get done within a normal workday, so my answer was just to make my workday even longer, rather than admit that I needed to structure my day a little differently. I had to be pretty strict with my calendar, and rather than putting my sword in the sand and drawing a line between my personal and professional hours, I just bounced back and forth and thought I was a master at balancing on this invisible tightrope. After all, I had worked from home for 3 decades while my children were home, and I thought I did it pretty well. And again, though, at this stage in my life, with no one to answer to, my balancing act needed a lot more than a safety net. And over the years, so many things have changed, including technology, that can expand your work hours so much more because, guess what, your business can now be global. So what's a woman to do? Well, let's remember one thing before I share some ideas with you. As an entrepreneur, you have to remember to set some boundaries. You cannot always be available when anyone calls or emails or tweets or posts or any other way of connecting. When I was in the corporate arena, if anyone called me, I would respond in a second. And if I was in a meeting, I would immediately text to let them know I was in a meeting and I would respond in a second. Great for them, but I set myself up for unrealistic expectations for myself. There are very few things that are so urgent that you can't wait until you're really available for you to respond with someone. And believe it or not, you do have much more control over your day than you realize. Now, a friend of mine puts an autoresponder on her email account saying that since she believes being present for her clients is number one for her, she'll respond to your email between 4 and 6 p.m. Now, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Well, in an article I read in the Harvard Business Review called Work Plus Home Plus Community Plus Self, in other words, managing yourself, I was getting ready for my thoughts for today's show, but what jumped out at me was that the author, his name is Stuart Friedman, he's the practice professor of management at the Wharton School, so he does know a thing or two. He described balance as bunk, stating that balance assumes we must always make trade-offs among the different aspects of our lives. Well, I was scratching my head and I thought, well, many times we lean toward that notion that there really isn't any life balance. And he goes one step further and shares with him what he says in his book called Leading the Life You Want, where he divides skill sets into these three categories. Skills for being real, which includes knowing what matters, aligning your action with values, and holding yourself accountable. Skills for being whole, which includes clarifying expectations, helping others, building supportive networks, and managing your boundaries, and skills for being innovative, including focusing on results, seeing new ways to do things, and embracing change courageously. And he suggests you commit doing fun work as well. It was a really great article. So for those of you that need some ideas for work-life balance, here are some additional thoughts. Number one, have realistic expectations. We've always heard that men are awesome at compartmentalizing their lives. Women may not have figured that out as yet, but while women may be able to have it all, they just may not be able to have it all at the same time. Juggling your business and your family may sometimes look easy on paper, but there are times when your family needs you more, and there are other times when your business needs your priority. Try to be flexible, and being realistic will help. Number two, you have to have time for yourself. What would a few extra hours in your week mean to you? Do you have someone that can clean your house, or is there someone that can give you extra hours for babysitting your children, or is there an hour or two that you can claim for yourself that doesn't have anything to do with work? This is where Calgon Take Me Away plays nicely for you and is a great reminder. Number three, unplug. As I said earlier, with the way technology is today, it's often difficult to shut down your business, so you have to make yourself do it. There has to be a time when no one can reach you, even if it's just a few hours, or maybe it's an entire weekend. For me, I call it my presentation mode. I put up my autoresponders, my phone has a new message that simply says, I'm off-site and have no access to emails or phones, and I'll get back to you in 24 hours. They know not to expect anything from me, and I can feel comfortable simply unplugging. And number four, what works for you? Clearly, my 24 hours doesn't work for everyone, and their weekends off may not work for me. So try and understand where your level of comfort is, and most importantly, don't feel guilty about doing it. The first time it's a bit weird, but soon you'll look forward to your time to recharge your batteries. Think about this. If you had 20 minutes right now, all to yourself, what would you do? It's fun to think about it, isn't it? Just remember, as an entrepreneur, it cannot be an all-day activity, but even a few minutes here and there can add to that work-life balance challenge you might be experiencing. The reality is that many women who spend more time on their responsibilities at home rather than on their business still feel guilty for not achieving it all and continually struggle to find that perfect balance. But the question remains, is there really work-life balance? And if there is there such a thing as perfect balance? The truth is that instead of striving to achieve someone else's balance, you need to create your own definition of what balance is to you. For me, people always ask me how I stay in balance. My first response is letting them know that in order to stay in balance, I'd have to be in balance. My thought is simply this. I've created my own standard of balance for me. I work with a very strict and rigid calendar, my strategic triangle, and my husband, the colonel. I love my level of balance, and at 12:08 Central Standard Time today, I am happily in balance. What will happen at 12:30 remains to be seen. When we come back, we'll be joined by an expert in work-life balance after her world turned upside down. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Well, it's time to bring my first guest in and share the mic with her. Her name is Judith Ritchie, and she was faced with overwhelming life circumstances that threatened to be her undoing. Judith began a quest to find balance and create a lifestyle that included health and wellness for herself, in her relationships, and faith in life. A former educator and financial advisor, Judith has years of experience guiding and teaching others how to create new paths of self-discovery and how to form new productive habits. Through intensive meditation, research, and education, Judith found a way of being that not only brought her to a place of contentment, fulfillment, and health, it also started to positively affect those around her. Now, Judith brings this way to being to others through her coaching practice called Get Your Sexy Back Coaching. Welcome to the show, Judith. I know we have so much to talk about. I couldn't even wait to get through your bio just to get you here.
It's so great to be with you, Judy. Thank you so much for having me on today. And, you know, I don't know if I have anything to add after your wonderful intro because you pretty much summed it all up.
Okay, we're done now. Well, let's start with the real topic of the day, the work-life balance. What are your thoughts about it? Is it something that women are looking for that doesn't exist, or is there really something to this concept?
I think it's a double-edged sword. And what I find is that women are trying to live a man's life. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting way to look at it when you think that men and women are absolutely wired differently, and our expectations for how we do life is completely different. You alluded to it a little bit earlier in the fact that men are compartmentalized. And I think if we allow ourselves to be women, then the balance looks completely different than what it does for men. And I'm not being sexist. I'm just being real about that we're created differently and with different needs.
You are speaking my language, woman, because that's what I talk about, the differences, every single day. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you 1,000%. And I don't know if balance, you know, the work-life balance ever comes into the emotions that a man has. I mean, I think that a lot of the stay-at-home dads now are trying to figure it out, but I don't think they call it balance. I don't know what they call it, but I don't think they call it balance. So
I literally have goosebumps on me from you saying that. And I'm glad you brought that up about the stay-at-home dads. I have a niece whose husband is now the at-home parent for their little baby. So I'm going to talk to him in about a year and get his take on it. Yeah.
That would be really, really interesting. And, you know, with the economy the way it is and with women being offered different positions, a lot of the dads are now staying home, which I think in actuality it's a great thing because they get to experience, you know, the real live workings of a home and how close they become to their children. So I think it's awesome, actually.
I do. I think that there's a different type of nurture that men have than women have, and it's going to be an interesting progression in our society to see that change in nurture from that progression of men being at home more.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, you also talk about performing to other people's standards, and that holds true for other people's definition of balance as well. Can you talk to our listeners about why we need to create our own definition or, you know, of how we actually come to the dance about doing this whole work-life balance? Why is it so important that we really have our own definition, and why shouldn't we be, you know, trying to achieve what everybody else wants us to achieve?
Well, I think it's about finding your passion. My personal belief is that every one of us has an indelled thumbprint, if you want to put it that way, from our Creator. And I happen to be a Christian, so I call him God. And I believe that he gives us all talents and passions that he's given each individual, and it's not the same for everyone. Oftentimes we have influencers in our lives, though, that don't either see those passions or talents or gifts that we have, or they refuse to acknowledge them either way, and they promote their ideas of what we need to be doing. For me, it was my parents who thought all of their kids needed to be educators, so every one of us has a bachelor's in education. My first husband asked me to give up my world to follow him for his career path. My second husband suggested I go into finance because that was really his dream for me, not my dream for me. And so I think we have to be very guarded and very smart about who we listen to and who we allow to influence us, because if we're following the wrong influences, it all gets out of whack. But when we're following our passions, it's a lot easier to keep that balance that we're looking for.
Right. And but I do believe that a lot of times women, we are such great pleasers. We want to make everybody happy. So rather than cause any kind of angst in a relationship or in a friendship or anything, we think, oh, okay, I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. Until you really can't do it anymore. And I believe that you and I have gone through some of very similar situations. But before we even have gotten started, we already have a caller that has a question. We have a Lynn from Dallas who has a question for you. So Lynn, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Happy Labor Day to everybody.
Thank you. Do you have a question for us about work-life balance? Because I know who you are, Lynn, and I know you are one of the queens of not having work-life balance either.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I deal globally. Like this morning, I had to deal with South Africa 8 hours ahead, and I deal with Asia, and they 14 hours ahead. And my business depends on that. So I cannot choose what hours I work, and it's very difficult because I would love Lynn time, but it's very hard to have that Lynn time when you're growing a business and you need to please everybody in that business and be there for them.
Okay, so Judith, what would be the first step in trying to create some balance when you have some, you know, issues like Lynn has? And then, like I said, we become global, so your hours are so different now.
Right. The first thing I would ask her is this business something that you are completely passionate and dedicated to doing? And analyze that. Because if you feel like you're doing it to please everybody, that's kind of a red flag for me that says maybe this is something that I'm doing because there are expectations that have been put on me, not because this is something I really feel fulfilled doing. So that's kind of a red flag I hear when she says that. The other thing is that you flip-flop your scheduling, and you kind of have to help everybody in your world understand that they have to have different types of demands on you. So whereas you may have, and you said it, Judy, in the beginning, you know, you may need somebody to take the kids to school, or you may need somebody to come in and cook for you, or you may need someone to come clean your house. So you have to let go of what your expectations are of all the different tasks that you have to do. If this is something you truly want to be doing, farm out those other tasks and get people on your team to help you propel where you want to be.
Does that help, Lynn?
Yes, it does help, but I am passionate about my business. I really am. I'd rather be doing other things than sitting here on the holiday and working with South Africa at the moment or whomever. But it's a very difficult thing because I am passionate. I do have very demanding clients, and I can't afford to lose them. So it's a very difficult scenario.
Well,
so
maybe
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say maybe you have to get something on the calendar for some day during the week that just says Lynn time, you know, and you have to stick to that.
Instead of saying Labor Day is Lynn Day, maybe Thursday is Lynn Day. For me
right. This
week, Wednesday is Judith Day because I worked Friday. I did a conference. I spoke and I did workshops and I worked Saturday and I worked last night and I'm working today and tomorrow I'm taking my husband for a medical procedure and I'm working. So Wednesday is going to be my day. I'm going to go on the autoresponder and I'm not taking the calls or the text. So you have to kind of skew your schedule away from what the traditional 8 to 5, you know, Monday through Friday expectations are.
Well, I can tell you I love the word autoresponder. I have not tried that, and that is going to be my new task for tomorrow.
Well, there you go, and we'll help you do it if you need it, Lynn.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
One of the frequent email responses I'm getting nowadays is, thank you so much for your email. I will answer you within 24 hours. And
yes,
that's becoming very common business etiquette. It's nice to let people know, hey, I got this, and secondly, here's what you can expect from me in terms of my response. That way your person who's emailing you is not sitting there going, well, did they get it? Are they going to do anything with it? And I think
yes,
that's very good business etiquette.
Yeah, I do too. And I think, you know, like I said, one of my friends actually puts it out that she responds between 4 and 6 because that's going to be her time for emails. And so anything that you put on that lets people know, yeah, I got it, I'm just not going to do it right this moment, and that's what you need to understand. So I think it's awesome.
And, you know, Judy, that brings up another important word that women don't use, and that word is no. And it is
really
so powerful to say no. And it's okay. We have women who are at-home moms that talk to me about, oh, my gosh, you know, I do all this stuff for volunteering, and I work at church, and I take my kids to all these things, and then my husband wants me to do this, and my best friend wants me to do this, and they're overwhelmed with all the demands that are being made on them, and I look at them, and I go, why don't you just say no? And so then we start peeling the layers back and talking about what it is that they're trying to fulfill for themselves by trying to answer everybody else's demands. And that skews the balance, too, because if you're doing that to fulfill your own self-image and worth, you end up getting beaten up by everybody else instead of being the one who's, you know, in control of how your life is heading.
Right. But, you know, again, we go back to women don't like to disappoint people, and you know, so that's how we've been brought up, and it's really hard. I think the first time you say no, it's almost like a foreign language. You just don't even know what came out of your mouth or how it got there, and, you know, people look at you, but you have to stick to your guns. But I think that's also about, you know, our core values. And you talk a lot about core values and beliefs, and I talk a lot about core values and beliefs. Where do you think that fits in creating this life that we all want?
Well, I do an exercise with my coaching clients called the Wheel of Life, and I ask them to identify the top 8 areas of their life. And then they have to note on the wheel, you know, are they at a 0 or are they at a 10? And when you look at that whole picture, you find out your wheel is pretty bumpy. Those core values are what are going to help you make your decisions about where you spend your time. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at the work-life balance part, you want to, you know, sometimes, like you said, things are going to take a step back. But if your family's at a 2 and you're building networking for your business is at a 10, there's something wrong there, because networking will always be there, but your family might always be, not always be. So you have to identify what your core values are first and then figure out how to fulfill those for yourself and have those satisfying relationships there.
Right. And if you're, yes, and if your core values don't, if they don't even, are they not even related to your goals, then there's something missing. There's something
exactly
missing there, because they have to be at least somewhere on the same page, you know, in the same chapter of the book you're trying to do, you know?
Exactly. And your goals may be different for the different parts of your family,
mm-hmm,
of your life. You know, I have 5 children, and one of my biggest goals was to get my kids all in college. Well, in order to do that, I had to have the financial means. So that threw that goal into my business category, you know, and so you have to align those so that everything you're doing is moving the whole picture forward.
Right, right, absolutely. Well, let's take a step over to your coaching programs, and you talk about Get Your Sexy Back. So what's sexy? What is it?
To me, sexy is having self-confidence, loving yourself, having integrity, having a clear goal of who you are and what you want out of life, and you being the one who's figuring out what it is for what you want in your life. And that may be in partnership with your spouse or your partner, or it may be in partnership with your business associates. But you're the one driving it, and you're the one who's not stressed out all the time, who's not getting beat up by life, who's not having untold demands on you that you can't say no to. That's what sexy is. It doesn't matter if you're a size 16 or a size 2. That's not about sexy, and it's not about the Kama Sutra either. Although, if you're feeling sexy, the rest of it's going to follow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
That's what sexy is for me.
Okay. And so when you talk to women, you know, how hard is it for them to define what sexy is for them?
I am starting to see a common thread among women, and that thread is that they don't love themselves, they don't have self-esteem, they have deep-seated, shameful secrets that they're carrying around, and they think they're the only one in the world who feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're stressed out to the max. They've gone through divorces. They've had complete meltdowns. They have lost jobs. They're maybe at the pinnacle of their career, and they still don't feel like it's enough. So when they start seeing that that's a very, and we're using the word balance, out of balance way to live, and that there's a different way to do life where they're driving the boat, then they start understanding what sexy is.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, so let's go one step further, because a lot of times things come out with, you know, they come to the forefront because of some habits that we do. And there have been statistics that show that as much as 45% of our behaviors are habitual. So where does habits come in order to create what you want, you need, or you deserve? And are habits important?
Absolutely, habits are important. And new research shows that it takes 66 days to create a new habit, whereas
Ooh.
It used to be 10 or 21. Now the new research shows it's 66 days.
Really?
So it, yes.
Wow.
So it may be something as simple as putting that autoresponder on your email and not answering that email for 24 hours or sometime within that 24 hours. That may be a first-step habit to create. So to me, it's about taking back control and you being the one who decides how and when things are going to happen and what it looks like. Then once you master that one, take the next one on. You know, but don't try to change everything all at one time, because then you're so overwhelmed you don't do anything well.
Right. And it's almost like, you know, when you have a baby and you're trying to introduce something, if you introduce too many things at the same time, you don't know what's working and what isn't.
Absolutely.
So we're going right back into those patterns again.
And it's about giving yourself permission to
mm-hmm.
do it differently. That's so important, because you have to agree with yourself that it's okay to do that. It's just like losing weight. A lot of people sabotage themselves in the weight area because they haven't really bought into the idea that they need to do that. So, oh, these two Oreos will be okay. If I eat that pint of Blue Bittle, it'll be all right. And they haven't really bought into the program.
Right, right. I totally agree. Okay, so you talk about getting your sexy back. You talk about helping people, help, especially women, getting that work-life balance. But you also talk about promoting health and wellness. And I know you do this with essential oils. Can you just explain to us, give us a little peek into it, why people would use essential oils, and how does it work with getting people, you know, more, not even just balanced, but healthy?
A great question. Essential oils are the first medicine that was ever used on the earth. They're ancient. The Romans, the Egyptians used them. They're mentioned over 200 times in the Bible. Essential oils are a very natural and holistic way to address a myriad of health issues, including emotional health issues. And you can do purposeful meditation using essential oils. I just learned that I can use Parashield over my heart when I'm doing coaching, because it will bind the coaching client's emotions from going into me. So it acts as a shield for me. You can use oils to start getting your metabolism revved up in the morning. Just a couple of drops of lemon and water will give you a good kickstart to your day. So it depends on whether you're trying to address chronic health issues like sinusitis or digestive issues or emotional issues. The oils can help in all those areas. That helps you get your sexy back, because when you're healthy and well physically, you can have the time that you need to work on yourself on the emotional side. So it's a nice circle.
So it's more like a holistic approach. It's not just we're going to do this and maybe later we'll try this. We're trying to take care of everything holistically.
Correct. Correct.
I love that. Okay, so what would you want to leave our listeners with today? What can they take away from the things that you do that you are the expert in, that you can share with them, that they can hang up and just go and do it?
One of the first things I want them to take away is that they need to make sure that they are following their passion, not someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing what someone else wants you to do, you'll never be happy doing it. So sit down and take some time with yourself. Maybe go off for an afternoon. or just allow yourself some quiet time to just think, you had a dream once upon a time. Are you following that dream? And if you're not, why not? And what would it take to get you to that dream? That's the first thing. And then second, analyze. Are you being good to you? Or are you being good to everybody else and leaving you for last? If you're leaving yourself for last, you will never be as successful as you want to be. And third, look me up and let me help you figure out what you want to do.
Well, that was my next thing of how they connected. But interesting that you said, the second thing was about, you know, make sure that you don't leave yourself for last, because we do that all the time. You know, when you have little ones at home, you know, it's the dancing and the soccer and everything else, and we have to get to the PTA meeting, we have to do this, and, oh, by the way, I have an extra 3 seconds for myself. So we always put ourselves last. That's pretty hard to, like, make sure that you are your own priority.
Yeah, I had to tell my husband today, hey, the next 4 months are going to be crazy, but I need you, I love you, and don't forget I'm doing this for us. And you have to verbalize that to your partners in life so that they understand what the end game is.
Awesome. Well, where can everyone connect with you so they can reach out to you? Because there's lots of great things that you're doing, and I know there's other things coming up that, you know, obviously we never have enough time with anyone, so, you know.
Thanks for asking. I'm at www.getyoursexybackcoaching.com. You can find me at Facebook. I have a page, Get Your Sexy Back Coaching page. I'm on Twitter at Sexy Back Coach, and you can find my phone number on those contact pages and connect with me that way, or shoot me an email through my Facebook or through my website.
Okay, and we'll make sure that everything is up in every single social media. One last question. What's next for you?
A book. I'm working on my first book. I'm writing right now. It's called Get Your Sexy Back After Divorce.
Awesome. And when should we expect that?
Oh, Judy, you just put me on the spot.
Well, I'm going to hold you accountable.
Okay, so my answer is in the near future, and I don't have a timeline, so now I need to come up with a timeline. So thanks a lot.
Is it 2014? Let's put it that way.
No, it's going to be 15. It's going to
okay.
be 15.
Okay, I'll let you slide with that one. But I thank you so much for sharing your Labor Day with us. And you've got some great information, lots of fantastic strategies, and I do hope you'll come back and share some more, and then we can definitely hold you accountable for your book.
And thank you so much for having me on Labor Day. And this doesn't feel like labor to me because this is my passion. I hope everybody has a great afternoon, and I do look forward to talking with you again, Judy.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Judith.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're going to take a break to make sure our sponsor, The Report for Women, which is an important information source for women in business, knows just how much we love them. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com. Subscribe for free and save it in your favorite places. That report will automatically update on a regular basis. So if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz, become one of our sponsors. Go to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com and click on the sponsor tab and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words. Your raw emotions just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I want to make sure you stay current with us because, as you heard, our last guest, Judith Ritchie, had lots of stuff coming up, and our next guest, Cheryl, is going to have just as much. So make sure you stay connected with us. Go and like us on Facebook, Selling in a Skirt, and Tough Talk Radio. If you want to be my friend on Facebook, just ask me at Judy Hoberman. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. Staying connected gives you access, and access takes you to success and profitability. Okay, I'm excited. It's time to share my next guest with you, Cheryl Dick. It is said that Cheryl knows business. She has over 25 years of experience in marketing, operations, management, security and forensics, training, quality and process improvements, commercial property management, energy sectors, and IT. Oh, wow, pretty impressive list. Cheryl has consistently helped businesses build strong, empowered teams of leaders who work smarter and more productively with greater results and growing profitability, adopting systems to maximize thought put and productivity and growth into the future. Cheryl believes balance is critical in life for people to be completely successful and actually results in greater success for business owners and their teams. She specializes in business transformation, succession planning, team building, strategic planning, and business process and systematization. Welcome to the show, Cheryl. It is a pretty impressive list of industries and everything else that you do, and I am excited to have you.
Thank you, Judy. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is going to be fun. You know, it's pretty awesome. I was telling Judith before that a lot of times I try to find a common thread between my two guests, and both you and Judith both said work-life balance. And when I read the Harvard Business Review this morning, it was about work-life balance. So I'm very excited.
Very important topic.
I know. So let's just jump right in with balance. What are your thoughts about work-life balance, and why do you believe it's critical in order for people to achieve success?
Well, Judy, the reality is if you're not happy in life and you're not balanced so you can fulfill your personal needs, your family needs, your community needs, and your work needs, you will not be productive in the long run. You have to have it so that everything is in sync. Every little piece of you has to be looked after. And if you don't look after that, eventually you'll either have health problems, you'll have marriage problems, you'll have family problems, you'll have other problems in life, and then you won't be happy. Ultimately, you have to be happy to be successful.
Okay, so, and I think you're right. I think that, you know, when you're doing things just for the sake of doing it, there is no joy or happiness in it. And we always talk about working on your business more than working in your business. So tell us about how that is a possibility and how it affects you, affects your balance. Because, again, we're talking about happiness and passion, but how do you make that work?
Well, the reality is you have to build a team around you to be able to work on your business and have your business run without you. You have to build a team that you trust. Trust is the foundation of a team. You have to have people that have the skill sets that you have or complement your skill sets. Not everyone has to have the same skills as you, but they have to have skills you need in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be wanting to be away from work. And what I mean by that is a lot of people, they get so entrenched in the reactionary world of work that they forget that there's another part of their life. And it can fall apart very quickly if they don't pay attention to it. But if you start working on your business and you have other people working in your business, you can start stepping away when you need to. And as your parents get older, and as you get older and your kids get older, the needs that you need to fulfill on the other side of your community change. And you have to be able to adapt to those. If you can't, then you end up making choices that may or may not be the way, what you wanted it to be.
Interesting. Well, your priorities change, you know.
Yes.
And sometimes there's a situation that causes that to happen when you least expect it as well. So you're right. If you don't have people in place to pick up the slack for the things that either you can't do, you don't want to do, don't know how to do, or can be done by someone else, your business is going to take a hit.
That's right. And you will take a hit.
Yes.
Personally, emotionally, physically. The stress that's caused when you don't release and allow other people to do things in your life and you focus on what's really, really important can cause huge health problems for you in your life. And I have naturopathic friends of mine. We talk about this all the time, that without releasing stress in your life, it's toxic. It takes your body and your mental mind down a road that you just don't want to go.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so I know for me, one of my challenges has always been having the correct systems in place so my business runs more efficiently and more effectively. What are your thoughts about being systematized? I mean, for me, I know it's critical, and I know how bad I am at it. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think having rituals and routines and systems to keep yourself on track are critical. Everything from time management to having a default calendar that you work toward, to pre-scheduling things, making sure that you're doing the things you need to do, not the things that everyone else thinks you need to do. Because you have to make choices. And I talk in a couple of my talks about choices. So there's always a positive and negative choice. You always have to choose which one you want to take. And the idea is to try to choose the ones that are positive for your focus, your life, and where you want to go, not the ones that everyone else wants you to take. And then build those into your schedule, because you only have so many hours in a day. When I sit down with teams, I often sit down and I do a time calculation with them. There's 168 hours in a week. You need to start by carving out the time for you first. And oddly enough, companies usually do it the other way around.
Right.
But I start with you and how much time you need for your health, for your fitness, for your mental health, for learning, for whatever you need. Then the next one that's really critical is your community. So your family, your kids, and your extended family. Maybe you have aging parents. Whatever it is, you need to bring those in next and put those into your schedule. The last one that you need to worry about is work, because ultimately there's lots of time for work. Even when you do that calculation, you'll find that there's still lots of time for work. So then I take that and I build a default calendar with people. And what they find is they start to have more time for the things that they didn't think they had time for, because they've actually created a schedule and a behavior pattern that works for them. The next step is to help the organizations realize that it's what's important on a team in an organization is productivity and results, not bum and seats.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter that they're not necessarily working the same schedule as everyone else in the office. What matters is they're getting the results for the job you've given them in the time you've given them. And if you learn to do that with your teams, not only are they happier, you're happier because they're getting the results you need, and you're also allowing them to have the life and the family that they need.
Okay, so I'm a very visual person, and to me that makes perfect sense, but do you think that by having that in black and white, so somebody can actually see where they should be working or where they should be at home, do you think that helps more in this whole balance thing that we're trying to figure out?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big advocate of put it on a calendar, put it in your phone, make it as visible and accessible as possible, because then you realize you can do it all. And you make different choices. Like, you may make a choice between, I don't know, spending time with your family versus watching a TV show. you may decide that spending time with your family, like face-to-face and actively spending time with them, is way more valuable and way more important to you than the other. But we often get drawn into behaviors that aren't necessarily what we really want to do. So having it in front of you, majority of the population are visual and kinesthetic. So if you make it visual and hands-on for people, they can take it and run with it.
Okay, so let's go one step further. So we all know that one of the greatest downfalls of entrepreneurs is focus. You know, we're all like shiny object people. So where does the focus fit in to having the business run more smoothly and efficiently and profitably with everything else that you're discussing? I mean, is focus something that you teach people? Do you just explain what focus is? How does it work? Because I know for me, again, I have to be very strict with myself. Otherwise, I am everywhere.
Yes. I think all of the entrepreneurs I know, including myself, oh, a shiny object.
Yep, squirrel.
We'll go run after this new shiny object. Yes, I spend a lot of time helping people create those choice habits. So not only do they have a calendar to follow, learning how to turn things off when they're trying to focus, learn how to put things into what I call a parking lot of ideas that they can go back to later.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't forget the idea. It might be a good idea, but they don't take their focus off what they're doing at that moment in time. Creating a reward system that they can follow. But I have a couple of refocusing techniques that I use with people. One of them is if you feel your focus changing to a different time point in time, stop, close your eyes. Focus only on the activity you're supposed to be doing at this moment in time for 20 seconds and breathe deeply, just in and out for 20 seconds, only focusing in your mind on the thing that's important at that moment. When you open your eyes again, you're going to have clarity and back to work on that activity.
Okay, so then there's focus right there, focusing on that one thing right then and there.
Right.
Okay, so let's go the other opposite end of the spectrum. Let's talk about workaholics. Obviously, not a lot of balance going on there, but why do we feel that we need to become a workaholic in order to make our businesses succeed? What is it about us that just drives us that way?
I actually believe that people that get into the workaholic mode often feel that they can't trust other people on their team to do the job. So rather than delegate to other people and train people on their team to do the work at the level that we expect, we just keep holding on to that work and trying to do everything ourselves. And I think some people get so far into it that they don't realize what they're sacrificing. So if you sit them down and you actually start working with them on the other parts of their life, they start to realize what they're missing. And if we can get them to start thinking about what they're missing, then it helps give us the desire to change and get back to a more balanced life. But ultimately, the workaholics I know typically are not willing or are afraid, I shouldn't say not willing so much, but not are afraid to trust and delegate to other people. They're afraid that those people aren't going to get the work done. But then they forget that they need to just put into place the checks and measures and the training so those people can be successful in those tasks for you.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people are afraid that it won't be done exactly the same way that they would do it. And that causes a lot of stress because I know exactly how I would do it. I know exactly how it would work. And even though the other person might get the same results, the destination is there, but not the process. And I think that, I mean, for me as well, I mean, I've watched people do what I do, and I'm like, yeah, but I wouldn't have done it like that. So you have to give that up. You have to stop owning every single thing that you do.
Right. So different personalities, different people will have a different style to get there.
Mm-hmm.
What's important is that they don't miss any of the key factors during a process or a key milestones in a process or checkpoints in a process. But the most important thing in the end, and this is hard for some people to let go and realize is the result. Do they get the right result that you want in the time frame you want, and is it done right, and is it done completely, and is it done at the level of quality that you want? And if the answer is yes to all those things, then there's nothing wrong with them doing it in line with their personality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That
and
makes sense.
It's usually the ones that are delegating that have to come to that realization.
Yeah. Sometimes that's why we always encourage people to have a coach, so somebody can be pretty objective about it without you trying to do it yourself, because usually you're too close to the situation.
Right. So well-documented processes with really well-defined training and really well-defined checkpoints,
mm-hmm,
and milestones, that so people know that they're doing it the way you want according to the milestones, even templates, everything well-templated and everything well-defined, just means that their success level of doing it the way you need it done is going to be higher.
Right.
And then you can step away and enjoy life.
Okay. So, you know, obviously you are a very successful coach and you work a lot with, you know, in entrepreneurs and companies. What's your ultimate goal for your clients? And or do you have one that's a common goal?
Really what it ends up being is success in whatever direction they're going. What we try to do, or what I try to do, is build the business in the direction that they want, to the point that they want it. Now, a lot of the companies I'm working with, they're starting to look at succession planning. So really what we're trying to do with most of those companies is build a company that runs without the owner, because then the company is more valuable as an asset for them to sell to a new investor.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's to take the business in the direction that the clients really want it to go. And it's interesting, I have never found a client that wants to work more.
That's probably true.
Most of them are wanting to unwind. They're wanting to take time away. They don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them admit to be workaholics, and they say, I don't know how to do this. I need help doing this. But really, what most people want is a business that will run without them so they can take a vacation, even
right,
if it's for 2 weeks, and then slowly build it up to 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever it needs to be. But really what business owners want is success, results, a team that sticks with them, and a company that runs really well and is growing. You don't want it declining.
Absolutely. Well, where can our listeners connect with you? Because obviously you've got some great information that they would love to be able to continue, you know, connecting with you and speaking to you and learning from you.
Okay. Our team website is www.businessedgecoaching.com. I'm on Facebook. You can look up Coach Cheryl Vick or Cheryl Vick. And I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn. I try to be accessible everywhere. My phone number is 403-615-6440. I'm also accessible through your 24-hour coach, which tries to make coaching accessible to everyone online and off. Lots of different ways to connect with me. My desire in life is to help as many people as possible be successful, both in business and out.
And she's in one of my favorite places in the entire world, Calgary. So make sure that you connect with her and all my friends up there as well. So one last thing from you, Cheryl. What would you want to leave our listeners with today?
Think about what it is you want in life for yourself and for your family, and for your business if you're a business owner, and believe that there's nothing between you and that object. And imagine what it would be like if that was today. And if you have that desire and that vision in your mind all the time, there's nothing that can stop you from getting there.
Mm. I love that. Well, Cheryl, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and I know it's a holiday Monday, and you know, I so appreciate you and Judith for taking time out on this day. It's amazing what we can learn in such a short time, and just grab onto those nuggets and run with them. So I look forward to hearing about your future successes and having you back on the show to bring us up to date.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Judy.
Thank you. And we're going to post all your information all over every part of social media. So take a look for it, and you'll see the links and everything else.
Thanks, Judy. I hope you have a fabulous day today, and everyone else that's on listening. And be successful.
Thank you so much. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with a few additional tips on creating balance, even for us workaholics. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to Internet radio in the last month, or that weekly Internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the Internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Okay, so we talked about having work-life balance today, and for some of us, it still seems to be foreign. So let's wrap it up with a few tips. Number one, find the fun. You have built your business from something you're passionate about. If you're struggling from burnout, go back and remember your passions. You have to disconnect from your business, even if it's temporarily, and rejuvenate through connections with family and friends. Second, make lists. Create and maintain daily and weekly to-do lists, and you have to prioritize each task. I use a simple paper, and I make sure I hold myself accountable. I do ABCs, I do 1-2-3s. Third, be smart. Our phones, our laptops, our computers have become our lifelines, and unfortunately, they do control our lives. Have dinner with your family or your friends, and don't even pick up your phone. Don't look at it. You might catch up on some pretty amazing things. Fourth, continuing with that theme, schedule downtime. Rest and rebuild. Spend time away from your business. Schedule a vacation with your family and actually go. Leave your phone and laptop at home. It's important to gift yourself some time that's 100% you. And finally, fifth, don't forget about your health. You know the drill, eat right, drink plenty of water, exercise. You've heard it, but did you listen to the message? If not, you're probably not healthy, and neither is your business. Don't burn out. Save time for yourself and your family. Balance isn't that far out of reach. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your businesses, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.